Welcome to Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Come on in and sit a while. Relax while we tell you a story. For this week's broadcast of our new KBIA show, we've chosen a play by A.A. Milne of Winnie the Pooh fame. It has the very strange title of Wurzel Flummery and was the very first play Milne wrote in 1917. The action takes place in the morning room of Robert Crawshaw's townhouse on a warm June morning. Crawshaw is a member of Parliament, representing the Conservative Party. His daughter, Miss Viola Crawshaw, is seated on a sofa, absorbed in the London Times. At this moment, Richard Meryton, an old family friend and member of Parliament from the other side of the aisle, enters and puts his hands over Viola's eyes.
Three guesses who it is.
The Archbishop of Canterbury?
No.
The Archbishop of York?
Fortunately, that exhausts the archbishops. Now then, your last guess.
Richard Meryton, proud representative of the Labour Party movement in Parliament.
Correct. How did you know?
Well, it couldn't have been Father.
No, I suppose not. Not just after breakfast, anyway. Anything in the paper?
There's a letter from Father pointing out that...
I never knew such a man as Robert for pointing out.
Anyhow, it's in big print.
It would be.
You are very cynical this morning, Dick.
The sausages were cold, dear.
Poor Dick. Oh, Dick, I wish you were on the same side as Father.
But he's on the wrong side. Surely I've told you that before. Viola, do you really think it would make a difference?
Of course not.
And Robert doesn't really.
Then why does he say it?
Ah, now you're opening up very grave questions. The whole structure of the British Constitution rests upon Robert's right to say things like that. But really, darling, we're very good friends. And it is awfully good of him to insist on my staying here while my flat was being done up. I am thankful for that. If it hadn't been for the last week, I would never have come to know you well. You were just Viola, the girl I'd seen at odd times since she was a child. Now... Oh, why won't you let me tell your father? I hate it like this.
Because I love you, Dick, and because I know Father. He would, as they say in the novels, show you the door. And I want you this side of the door for a little bit longer.
I shall tell him before I go.
But not till then. That gives us 2 more days. You see, darling, it's going to take all my powers of persuasion to bring him round. Apart from politics, you're so poor. And Father hates poor people.
Damn money. Viola, come to me.
Now, let's not get started.
No, you are quite right. Here comes Robert now.
Good morning, Richard. Awake at last?
Good morning. I did warn you, didn't I, that I was hardly ever up for breakfast?
Viola, where's your mother?
I don't know, Father. Do you want her?
I wish to speak to her.
All right, I'll go fetch her.
Richard, why do you get something to do?
My dear fellow, I've only just finished breakfast.
I mean generally, and apart, of course, from your work in the House of Commons.
I have plenty to do, representing the rights of the working class.
I mean something serious, something worthwhile. You should get a directorship or some other position in the city.
I hate the city.
Good morning, Mr. Meryton. I do hope you slept comfortably last night.
Like a log, Mrs. Crawshaw, thank you.
Good. Did you want me, Robert?
Yes, Richard, what are your plans?
Is he trying to get rid of me, Mrs. Crawshaw?
Of course not. Are you, dear?
Perhaps we'd better go to the study, Margaret. There are some private matters to discuss. We can leave Richard here with the paper. If you will excuse us.
No, I'm going.
Not too far, I hope. There are some peculiar business matters I would like to discuss with you.
Right, I shall return soon.
Sit down, Margaret. I have some extraordinary news for you. This letter just arrived. 199 Lincoln's Inn Fields. Dear Sir, I have the pleasure to inform you that under the will of the late Mr. Anthony Clifton, you are the beneficiary of £50,000.
Robert! Good heavens, £50,000?
But wait, dear, there is more. A trifling condition is attached, namely that you should take the name of Wurzel Flummery. I have the honor to be your obedient servant, Dennis Clifton.
That is the oddest thing I have ever heard. Robert, whoever is he? I mean the one who left you the money.
I have not the slightest idea, Margaret. Doubtless we shall find out before long. I have asked Mr. Dennis Clifton to come and see me.
£50,000! Just think of it!
Yes, but the name, Wurzel Flummery?
We can have the second car now, dear, can't we? And what about moving? You know, you always said you ought to be in a more central location. Mr. Robert Crawshaw, M.P. of Curzon Street. Sounds so much more... more parliamentarian.
Mr. Robert Wurzel Flummery, M.P. of Curzon Street. It has a certain ring to it. Or perhaps it's more like a clank.
I expect that's only a legal way of putting it, dear. They can't really expect us to change our name to Worsley Fothergill.
Worsley Flummery.
Yes, dear, didn't I just say that? I am sure you could talk the solicitor round, this Mr. Dennis Clifton. After all, it doesn't matter to him what we call ourselves. Write him one of your letters, dear.
You don't seem to apprehend the situation, Margaret.
Yes, I do, dear. This Mr.
Anthony Clifton.
Yes, he's left you £50,000 together with the name of Worsley Fothergill.
Wurzel, oh, never mind.
Yes, well, you tell the solicitor that you will take the £50,000, but you don't want the name. It's too absurd. Everybody knows Mr. Robert Crawshaw, M.P. Why would anybody expect you to call yourself Wurzley Fothergill?
Yes. The point is that this Mr. Clifton has left me the money on condition that I change my name. If I don't take the name, I don't take the money.
But is that legal?
Perfectly. It is often done. People frequently change their names when they inherit property.
I thought it was only when your name was Brown and you change it to Brown Smythe or something of that sort.
But Wurzel Flummery, I know a member of Parliament by any other name should smell just as sweet, but...
I wonder why he left you the money at all. Of course, it was very nice of him, but if you didn't know him... Why do you think he did it, dear?
I know no more than this letter. I suppose he had followed my career and was interested in it, and being a man with no relations, felt that he could safely leave this money to me. No doubt Wurzel Flummery was his mother's maiden name, or the name of some friend quite dear to him. He wished the name perpetuated, perhaps even recorded proudly in the history of our country, and made this will accordingly. In a way, it is a kind of a sacred trust.
Then, of course, you'll accept it, dear.
It requires some consideration. I have my career to think about, my duty to my country.
Of course, dear. Money is a great help in politics, isn't it?
Money wisely spent is a help in any profession. The view of riches which socialists profess is entirely ill-considered. A rich man who spends his money thoughtfully is serving his country as nobly as anybody.
Yes, dear. Then you think we could have that second car and the house on Curzon Street?
We must not be led away. £50,000, properly invested, is only £2,000 a year. When you have deducted the income tax, and the tax on unearned income is extremely high just now.
Oh, but surely if we have to call ourselves Wurzel Flummery, it would count as earned income.
I fear not. Strictly speaking, all money is earned, but the taxation laws are not written that way. Still, £50,000. £50,000 is a sum not to be sneezed at.
I should think not indeed.
And without this preposterous condition attached, I should be pleased to accept this trust, and would endeavor to carry it out to the best of my poor ability. But Wurzel Flummery? I think, Margaret, I would like to talk to Richard about this. Of course, it would be absurd to refuse the money, but, well, I should like to have his opinion.
Do you think he would be sympathetic, dear? He makes jokes about serious things, just as if they weren't at all serious.
I would like to talk to him just to get a new point of view. I do not hold myself in the least bound to act on anything he says. I regard him strictly as an advisor, Margaret.
Then I will send him to you as soon as he returns.
Margaret, how do you really feel about it?
However you feel, Robert. We will do as you think best.
Thank you, Margaret. You are a good wife to me. Now, if you will excuse me, I'm going to review who's who to see if I can get a bead on this name, Wurzel Flummery.
Yes, dear. Of course.
Let's see. Wurzel? No. Nothing here. Flummery. It's not listed. Odd.
Well, what's the news? Been left a fortune?
Yes, by a Mr. Anthony Clifton. I never met him and I know nothing about him.
Really? Well, I congratulate you. To them that hath. But why would you want my advice?
There is a slight condition attached.
Oh-ho.
The condition is that with this money, £50,000, I take the name of Wurzel Flummery.
What?
I said it quite distinctly. Wurzel Flummery.
It is a silly name, don't you think? Just listen to the sound of it. Mr. Robert Wurzel Flummery, MP, one of the most prominent and distinguished of our parliamentarians. Oh, it is too much.
Shall we discuss it seriously or not at all, Richard?
How can we discuss a name like Wurzel Flummery seriously? Mr. Wurzel Flummery, in a few well-chosen words, seconded the motion. Why, it might as well be Goat Bump Plumperier. Oh, dear, Robert.
After all, as Shakespeare says, what's in a name?
I can tell you something else that Shakespeare said. Who steals my purse with 50,000 in it steals trash. Trash, Robert. But he who filches from me my good name of Crawshaw and substitutes one as ridiculous as Wurzel Flummery...
As a matter of fact, Wurzel Flummery is a very respected old name. I seem to remember some Hampshire Wurzel Flummeries. It is a very laudable spirit on the part of a dying man to wish to perpetuate these old English names.
I see.
Take a matter of fact perspective. You may like or dislike the name of Wurzel Flummery, but you can't get away from the fact that £50,000 is not to be sneezed at.
I believe people should sneeze at money sometimes. There are some things that cannot be bought. I should like to start a society for sneezing at £50,000. We'd have to begin in a small way, of course. We'd begin by sneezing at £5.
Yes, enjoy your little joke. But you know as well as I that it is only a joke. There can be no serious reason why I should not take this money. And I gather that you don't think it will affect my career?
Not a bit. It'll help it. It'll get you into all the comic papers.
Before our crazy plot thickens, let's take a short break in behalf of Maplewood Barn Community Theater.
Good evening. This is Michael Scott, President of the Board of Directors for Maplewood Barn Community Theater. Thanks for joining us for our newest production, the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Each Friday at this time, you'll be hearing old-time radio stories performed by the same actors you'll see on stage when we welcome you back to the new Maplewood Barn in Nifong Park in the summer of 2012. And now, back to our story on KBIA.
And so, let's get back to our post-Victorian comedy, posing that age-old question. Is a rose by any other name really just flummery?
This solicitor fellow should be here soon. Perhaps, after all, we can manage something about... Viola, were you looking for your mother?
Sorry, have I interrupted a family meeting? Well, there's Richard, so it can't be very serious.
What a reputation. I am wounded.
Well, it's over now.
Viola had better know, hadn't she?
She'll have to know sometime, of course.
Of course I will, so you might as well tell me now. I know there was something exciting going on this morning.
Perhaps you'd better tell her, Margaret?
Father has come into some property, Viola. It means changing our name, unfortunately. But your father doesn't think it will matter.
How thrilling! This is marvelous news. What is the name, Mother?
Your father says it is. Oh, dear me, I shall never remember it.
Wurzel Flummery.
I'm sorry. What was that, Father?
Wurzel Flummery.
That wasn't a name, was it? Do you spell it like it sounds? I mean, like Wurzel and like Flummery? Miss Viola Wurzel Flummery. It would certainly get people's attention, wouldn't it? Oh, Dick, what a delicious name. Who had it first?
They are an old Hampshire family. That is so, isn't it, Robert?
I said I thought that I remembered.
Well, Viola, you haven't told us how you might like being Miss Wurzel Flummery.
I haven't had a chance to digest it yet, Mommy. I shall have to stand in front of my mirror and rehearse it.
Ah, that must be the solicitor. Mr. Clifton, Dennis Clifton, I presume?
At your service.
How do you do, Mr. Clifton? Very good of you to come. You are the solicitor, correct?
Yes, yes. I must apologize for not looking the part, but my clothes did not arrive from Clarkson in time. Very careless of them.
Ah, yes, quite so. And you have full legal authority to act in this manner?
Oh, decidedly. There's no question of that.
This is my wife, Margaret, and daughter, Viola, and my friend, Mr. Richard Meriton.
Dear me, Mr. Meriton, too? This is quite a situation, as we say in the profession.
In the legal profession?
In the theatrical profession. You see, I am a writer of plays. Most of the managers in London have thanked me at one time or another for submitting my work to them.
I understood, Mr. Clifton, that you were the solicitor employed to wind up the affairs of the late Mr. Anthony Clifton.
Oh, certainly. Oh, there's no doubt of me being a solicitor, but my heart turns elsewhere. Officially, I have embraced the profession of a solicitor.
I'm afraid...
Unofficially... I am wedded to the muses.
Dick, isn't he engaging?
Oh, quite so. But just for the moment, Mr. Clifton, I take it that we are concerned with legal business. Should I ever wish to produce a play, the case would be different.
Admirably put. Pray regard me entirely as the solicitor for as long as you wish.
Dear, I think perhaps Viola and I...
Yes, me too. We'll leave you to your business, Robert.
Just one moment, if I may. I have a letter for you as well, Mr. Meriton. Your presence here is fortuitous.
A letter? For me?
Yes. My clerk took it round to your rooms this morning, but found only painters and decorators there. Yep, I brought it along, hoping that Mr. Crawshaw... But, of course, I never expected anything as serendipitous as this.
Thanks.
Oh, but do read it now, won't you? One so rarely has an opportunity of being present when one's own letters are read... I think the habit they have on the stage of reading letters aloud to one another is such a very delightful one.
Good Lord.
Dick, what is it?
199 Lincoln's Inn Fields. Dear sir, I have the pleasure to inform you that under the will of the late Mr. Anthony Clifton, you are the beneficiary to the extent of £50,000.
Dick!
A trifling condition is attached, namely, that you should take the name of Poonenham Blurble.
Impossible. Why should he leave money to you?
Dick, how wonderful!
I don't remember ever having had a morning quite like this.
Is this a joke, Mr. Clifton?
Oh, the money is there, all right.
Then I refuse it. I will have nothing to do with it. I won't even argue about it. That's what I think of your money. Good day, sir.
Dick! Oh, but Mother, he mustn't. Oh, I must tell him.
Really, Mr. Clifton, I am surprised at you. Robert, you may show him out when your business is concluded.
And now, Mr. Crawshaw, we are alone.
Yes. Well, I think, Mr. Clifton, you have a good deal to explain.
My dear sir, I'm longing to begin. I've been looking forward to this day for weeks. I spent over an hour this morning dressing for it. Perhaps I had better begin from the beginning.
Are the documents in your briefcase?
Oh, dear, no. That is just a prop. Something to carry in the hand. It makes me look more like a solicitor. You see, Mr. Crawshaw, this is my first real case, and I only got it because Anthony Clifton is my uncle.
Yes, well, I'm a busy man, and if you could tell me as expediently as possible why your uncle left this money to me, and apparently to Mr. Meriton, too, under these extraordinary conditions, I shall be obliged to you.
Say no more, Mr. Crawshaw. I look forward to being entirely frank with you. It will be a pleasure.
You understand, of course, my position. I think I may say that I am not without reputation in the country, and proud as I am to accept this sacred trust, this money which the late Mr. Anthony Clifton has seen fit, one cannot say why, to bequeath to me, yet the use of the name Wurzel Flummery would be excessively awkward.
Excessively, yes.
My object in seeing you was to inquire if it was absolutely essential that the name should go with the money.
Well, you may have the name without the money, if you like, but you must have the name.
Ah, of course. I have nothing against the name. A good old Hampshire name.
My dear Mr. Crawshaw, you didn't really think that anyone had been called Wurzel Flummery before? Oh, no. You were to be the first, the founder of the clan, the designer of the Wurzel Flummery coat of arms. And the same holds true for Mr. Meriton being the first Poonenham Blurble.
What do you mean, sir? Are you telling me that these are not real names at all?
Oh, they are names, all right. I know, because I made them up.
And you have the impudence to propose, sir, that I should take a made-up name?
Well, all names are made up at some time or other. Somebody had to think of Adam, for example.
I warn you, Mr. Clifton, that I will not allow this trifling with serious subjects.
Oh, it's all so simple, really. You see, my Uncle Anthony was a rather unusual man. He despised money. He was not afraid to put it in its proper place. The place he put it was a little below golf and a little above classical concerts.
It's perfectly scandalous to talk about money in this way.
Well, that's how he talked about it. But he didn't find many to agree with him. In fact, he used to say there was nothing, however contemptible, that a man would not do for money. Two people, I said, leave silly names to two people, two well-known people, rival politicians, say, men whose own names are already public property. Surely they wouldn't both take it. That touched him. Dennis, my boy, you've got it, he said. Upon what vile bodies shall we experiment? We decided upon you and Mr. Meriton. My uncle wouldn't hear Tosh, or Spiffkins, or Porker. He wanted humorous names, names he could roll lovingly round his tongue, names expressing a sort of humorous contempt, Wurzel Flummery and Poonam Blurble. I can see now the happy, ruminating smile which came so often upon my Uncle Andrew's face in those latter months. He was thinking of those outrageous names. A whole government of Wurzel Flummeries and Poonam Blurbles. It would have been rather jolly and put some zest into politics.
You force me to say, sir, that if that was the way you and your uncle used to talk together, his death can only be described as a merciful intervention of Providence.
Oh, but I think he must be enjoying all this somewhere, you know. I hope he is. He would have loved this morning. It was his one regret that from the necessities of the case, he could not live to enjoy his own joke. But he had hopes that echoes of it would reach him wherever he might be.
Mr. Clifton, if, as you irreverently suggest, he is listening to us, I should like him to hear this, that in my opinion, you are not a qualified solicitor at all, and that you never had an uncle, and that the whole story of the will and the ridiculous condition attached to it is just the tomfool joke of a man who, by his own admission, wastes most of his time writing unsuccessful farces. And
pardon my interrupting. You said farces, not farces. Comedies of a whimsical nature.
Oh, whatever they are, sir, I propose to report the whole matter to the Law Society. And you know your way out, sir.
Then I am to understand that you refuse the legacy, Mr. Crawshaw?
What's that?
Am I to understand that you refuse the £50,000?
If the money is really there, I most certainly do not refuse it.
Oh, the money is most certainly there, and the name, both waiting for you.
Then, sir, I accept them. I feel it my duty to accept them as a public expression of confidence in the late Mr. Clifton's motives. I repudiate entirely the motives that you have suggested to him. You will arrange further matters with my solicitor. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Wurzel Flummery, farewell. May I express the parting wish that your future career will add fresh luster to the name of Wurzel Flummery, and it will shine throughout history as...
Out! The cad. Viola, Richard, I would prefer to be left...
Father, Dick doesn't want to take the money, but I have told him that of course he must. He must, mustn't he?
We needn't drag Robert into it, Viola.
If Richard has the feeling that it would be awkward to sit in the House of Commons with a name like Poonam Blurbles, I should be the last to interfere with his decision.
But how can we get married if he doesn't take the money?
Married? What does this mean, Richard?
I'm sorry it has come out like this. We ought to have told you before, but anyhow, we were going to tell you in a day or two. Viola and I want to get married.
And how did you propose to support Viola?
Not very well, I'm afraid.
We're all right now, Father, because we shall have £50,000.
Oh, Viola, Viola.
But naturally this puts a very different complexion on matters.
So of course he must take it, mustn't he, Father?
I can hardly suppose, Richard, that you expect me to entrust my daughter to a man who is so improvident for himself that he throws away £50,000.
You don't understand, Robert.
I understand this, Richard, that if an absurd name is good enough for me, it should be good enough for you. You don't mind asking Viola to take your name, but you consider it an insult if you are asked to take another name.
Do you want to be Mrs. Poonenham Blurbles?
Well, I'm going to be Miss Wurzel Flummery anyhow, darling. It seems that Poonenham Blurbles is no worse.
Heaven help me. You'll make me take it. But you don't understand. It's a matter of principle.
Come, Richard. I understand perfectly. All that you were saying about money a little while ago, it's all perfectly true. It's all just what I feel myself. But in practice, we have to make allowances sometimes. We have to sacrifice our ideals for others. I shall be very proud to have you for a son-in-law, and to feel that there will be two of us in Parliament, together, upholding the honor of our respective names.
Go on, Robert. I deserve it.
Well, Margaret will be interested in our news. And you must send that solicitor a note stating your acceptance. Now I will leave you, lovebirds, to your romance.
Come here, Mrs. Poonenham Blurbles.
Well, Miss Wurzel Flummery for a bit, then a change to Poonenham Blurbles. And soon, please, darling.
I don't know what I've done, Viola, but you're worth it. And God help me if I ever stop thinking so. Mr. Clifton, you're back?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I left some papers behind.
Dick, tell him. I will be with Mummy. Goodbye, Mr. Clifton, and thank you for writing such nice letters.
Goodbye, Miss Crawshaw.
Just say it once to see how it sounds.
All right. Goodbye, Miss Wurzel Flummery.
No, not Miss Wurzel Flummery. Mrs. Poonenham Blurbles.
Ah, yes, quite so. Congratulations, Mrs. Poonenham Blurbles. But wait, you don't mean...
Yes, I'm taking the money after all, Mr. Clifton.
Dear me, what a situation. This will make a lovely musical comedy.
Poor Mr. Clifton.
Why poor?
You missed all the best part. You didn't hear what I said to Crawshaw about money before you came.
Oh, it was very... But I expect Uncle Anthony heard. Well, I must be getting on. So you're taking the money, Mr. Meriton?
Yes.
And Mr. Crawshaw, too?
Yes.
They are both taking it. Well, Uncle Anthony, wherever you are, you knew. You knew.
And so the great dynasties of the Wurzel Flummery and the Poonenham Blurbles families were established. Their names are bound to go down in English history. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of A.A. Milne's play, Wurzel Flummery, adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. This show was produced by Darren Helwich. Our players were, in order of appearance, Joe Bogue as Richard, Rita Maloney as Viola, David Black as Crawshaw, Lee Wilkins as Margaret, and Darren Helwich as Quentin. This is your narrator, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us at the same time next week on KBIA for another relaxing half hour here at the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Thanks for listening.